Okay, welcome back, and hour number two. Hope you had a nice weekend, as nice as that can be now. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse, so keep your seatbelts fastened. And I was just thinking about how in fashion it is not to openly and overtly be stocking up on things. I just... Somebody said it's one-tenth of 1% of the U.S. population, it was said on this program, is fully, realistically, honestly prepared to do anything serious about weathering a major catastrophe, a calamity. In other words, most people waited too long. Don't have the money. We're not knocking anybody that hasn't prepared, because I know it's not cheap. It takes years. And somebody told me years ago to start, and I did. And if it weren't for that notice that I had, and the idea that I was doing the best I could to put everything aside, I wouldn't be where I am now. I'm okay. I'm not in great shape, but I'm pretty good. It's not too bad. So all of you out there, I hope you're okay, because I do think we're going to be facing the abject implosion of most of the recognizable economy. The entire financial system we rely upon, you know, the farms are under attack, you know that. You understand about the quality of food being awful. It's just not good. And I don't know where this is going to end precisely, but generally speaking, it's not going to end up in a good place. It just isn't. And that's no one's fault. None of you are to blame, but we've been conned. And now we've been poisoned with bioweapons. Each one of us has been turned into, those of us who have been injected, we haven't here, but you have many people, 80% of America, and I don't know what the percentage is around the world, but all those people who have been injected with the mRNA death potion are now walking bioweapon creators and spreaders and shedders, and that's not a joke. So it's pretty damn tough out there. Anyhow, and I do think that... the Magic Bus guy we did play, it was good, though, and we might want to replay that. And the reason is that in this society of utter chaos and information, massive information overload, and a lot of it is just garbage information, people can't retain. It's not their fault. They just don't have a chance. That's how the game is played. They don't want you to be able to really synthesize what you're hearing, process all the data. They want you to feel kind of like overwhelmed. And I know a lot of you feel that way. I do, many days. It's not a joke. It's really crazy out there.
Yeah, there is a lot to get through. And a lot of it's just noise. You know, it's not anything of consequence.
Pure noise. And no, it's by design. And that's the hard part for most people to accept. And I don't blame them at all. That this could all be planned. A lot of people say, you're crazy, that's not possible. Oh, it's so possible. And with AI now, it is utterly so easy to make extraordinarily deep, detailed, sophisticated plans if you have an agenda and you enter that agenda as a prompt into an AI, and it'll give you back how to do it. It's what it does. So there you go. Crazy. Now, we have a little clip by David Martin. Which one of these do you want to play first? Well, we've got several clips. They're kind of nice.
Oh, they're all good.
Yeah.
You pick.
See, she did it again. She's always putting it on me. All right, hold on a second here. Oh, I'm going to play the Arnie Burkhardt thing. This man really can't be honored enough, the late Dr. Professor Arnie Burkhardt. You can't overstate this man's brilliance as a pathologist. And what a kindly gentleman he was. Very respectful.
Yeah, very, very humble.
Oh, yeah.
And, he was the first to come out and speak about these clots and show that the mRNA, the lipid nanoparticles in these vaccines, were transfecting actually the endothelium, the lining of the blood vessels. It wasn't just going into the bloodstream and ending up in some distant organ. No, it's actually transfecting the lining of the blood vessels.
Causing big trouble. Okay.
So that in and of itself can precipitate these clots that we're seeing, presumably, because there's some kind of an autoimmune attack going on against the blood vessels when that happens. And then somehow what's supposed to be the lining of an artery is turning into one giant rubbery clot that's accumulating all of the proteins that are circulating in the blood and somehow being, I call it, vulcanized into
a good term.
Piece of rubber.
I remember in college, the first time I learned about endothelial cells and the inside of the blood veins and the arteries, they're two different things. Remember, your blood vessels, the veins, carry the blood back to the heart. The arteries carry it away from the heart. So you got a full loop circle here. And people don't even know the difference, but there's a difference. And I learned about this in college when they were talking about how homogenizing milk was able to cover with fat molecules that are broken down in the homogenization process. They covered up the xanthine oxidase, the XO enzyme, which otherwise would be, if you were to drink unhomogenized milk, it would be destroyed in the digestive tract. Your stomach would break it down. It would be gone. The XO enzyme is dangerous because it was covered in homogenization with little fat cells. Sounds like liquid nanoparticles a little bit, doesn't it? And it would go into the body and into the blood vessels or the arteries, and it would irritate the XO, the xanthine oxidase enzyme. It would irritate the endothelial cells in the arterial walls. And that irritation would provoke the body to manufacture and secrete or accrete plaque to try to heal the injured endothelial cells on the inside of the blood vessels and arteries. And that would begin to build up a clot, that plaque. Remember how they used to talk about, oh, you've got plaque, you've got to have bypass surgery or whatever. That's where it came from. That's the first time I learned about how fat can hide things or protect them to allow them to get fully into the body when otherwise they would be taken down. So homogenizing milk did that with the xanthine XO, they call it, oxidase enzyme. Now,
that was one of the dangers they were realized when it came to homogenization, just micronizing those fat particles.
Yes.
Which would contain or carry with them the xanthine oxidase, which is very, it's oxidative, you know, as the name suggests.
That's why they call it oxidase, yes.
Right.
Yes.
So it is an irritant to the lining of the blood vessels.
And the plaque that would be built up by the body in a defensive method to try to cover up the damage, heal the damage, would begin to narrow the arteries. You get it. And then you'd end up with a nearly closed artery. This is long before amyloid clotting was an issue. Now, I wonder if we'll ever get rid of amyloid clotting. It's a tough call. It doesn't look like it. Here's Professor Dr. Arne Burkhardt talking about COVID jab blood clots. This is very short. It's only a couple minutes. It's out of the last interview, the last formal interview that he gave.
In all of your years of pathology prior to the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccinations, you did not see this type of blood clotting. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. This lady, actually, she was active marathon runner. She participated in marathon runs. And soon after this vaccination, she could not walk anymore for some time and had very severe problems. She did all kinds of therapeutic measurements like plasmapheresis and things like that. And she is better now, but it relapses. This is after the vaccination that shows that there's a profound damage of the perfusion. I mean, she at some times she could not walk.
She couldn't walk?
Walk anymore, no.
Wow. And 40 years old, otherwise healthy?
Yes, as I said, a marathon runner. We concluded that these clot formations are an indication that in the past there was an endothelial damage, and if it's still forming, it's an ongoing endothelial damage, and through the endothelial damage, proteins and matrix constituents of the vessel wall come into the blood and circulate in the blood. And under certain circumstances, they can form these clots.
And you were seeing this in several people who were vaccinated, these types of clots. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes. And this is definitely associated with temperature, because this lady especially, but I have heard it also from other persons, they feel or they have no major problems as long as the temperature is good. So, but if it's below 25 degrees, they have problems with their hands maybe.
So is it their circulation?
Apparently,
they
yes.
have problems in yes. the cold temperature, and multiple people who have been vaccinated are reporting this?
Yes.
We should also give Arnie Burkhardt credit for doing the original autopsy work on dead males and checking for reproductive damage. Now, we already knew, most people knew, that women are targeted for these horrible bioweapons to do their worst. And they are doing their worst. Massive bleeding, all kinds of problems. But men were pretty much ignored until Dr. Burkhardt did some autopsies on men and found that in the testes, where there's supposed to be a lot of sperm, there was zero, as in none, sperm to be found. Only spike proteins. It had wiped out all of the sperm production. Gone. So, yes, these injections, among many other things, are bioweapons designed to destroy the reproductive competency of this species. So don't forget that. And that was Dr. Arnie Burkhardt again. Okay. Anything to add?
Well, we seem to be making a little bit of progress in identifying the composition of the clots, which Dr. Arnie Burkhardt had taken a stab at, too. Somebody, I think, associated with his lab or in his lab had analyzed them 2 years ago and determined that there was about, I think, 132 proteins that were associated with the lining of the endothelium at that time.
132 different proteins. Interesting.
Yeah. Now, this latest lab, which was from the video that we played last week, Greg Harrison in Australia has been working with a university in New Zealand and one in Hungary, and they have analyzed these clots as well. And they show that there was quite a bit of fibrin. That was the dominant protein, which fibrin is a protein in blood. And I would say probably, 30 other proteins in there too, but all various components that you would see either as part of the blood vessel or free-floating components in the blood. But obviously they're assembling in a very pathological way. We're making a little bit of headway. If more people would be brave enough to come out and talk about what they're seeing, you know, in terms of these embalmers and or vascular surgeons who apparently are seeing this on a regular basis. They're just afraid to talk about it. We might actually get to the bottom of it, but it does seem to be associated with the vaccines, or the injections, I should say. They're not vaccines. And they're pointing the finger at specifically the mRNA, the lipid nanoparticle platforms, Moderna and Pfizer, but I don't think that we've ruled out the adenoviral vector vaccines, which would be AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and Sputnik. And there was a fair amount of people who took those as well, and it would be interesting to know, are they having this issue? You know, those ones did have regular types of clots forming almost immediately after the injection. You know, Johnson & Johnson was removed from the market for that reason. But we don't know, are the people that receive those injections forming these amyloid-type clots as well? And as you heard Arnie Burkhardt say, these things, this woman that was having the plasmapheresis done, which is really a way of cleaning the blood of these proteins, they reform. So this has to be done on a regular basis to stay ahead of it. You know, it's not like you just go and get it out and you know, you don't have to worry again. It seems like it's going to be an ongoing issue.
It certainly does. It's no doubt. Here's a little piece with Dr. David Martin, who kind of underscores what we mentioned a couple minutes ago. Take a listen to Dr. David Martin here. Wish I had his tan. Looks like he's not hurting for vitamin D. Very healthy. Very healthy. All right, here.
And let's unpack that for 1 second, because here's what happened. Based on a set of code that Ralph Baric sent to the Vaccine Research Center in November of 2019, and you heard me say that date correctly, November 2019, that's allegedly before patient 1.0 in Wuhan. Ralph Baric sent a sequence to the Vaccine Research Center, and it was not for the coronavirus, and it was not for the coronavirus vaccine. It was for the mRNA that was used to instruct the human body to make a scheduled pathogen. Let me say that again, to make a scheduled pathogen. What they did was they said, what we're going to do is we're going to inject into the arms of billions of people the instructions to turn each individual into a bioweapons factory. And you could say, well, that's hyperbole, Dave. Don't call it a bioweapons factory, except here's the tiny little problem. Under 18 U.S. code, that's exactly what it is. If you instruct a person to make a scheduled toxin, you, in fact...
Which is the spike protein, in case you're not on board with that. That's what he's talking about.
...are a biological weapons manufacturer. And every single person that took the shot, let's be really clear, every single person that took the shot became the manufacturer of a synthetic spike protein associated with the coronavirus model.
Got it. Okay. How many people injected in the world? We don't know. There are about 8 billion. 13 billion injections have been given to those 8 billion people. 700 million injections have been given to America's 235 million, although I think there are a lot less than that now. But then again, I could also say that because of the open borders and the number of invaders here, the totality of people in this country may not have changed as much as we think. However, there have been a lot of deaths from these pathogenic, deadly injections. And he's right. Everyone who's been injected is essentially a walking bioreactor, a bioweapons lab, if you will. That's why we talk and have talked for our fourth year about shedding. Take it seriously. Don't deny it. Don't laugh, because it happens. Nothing new. Diseases have always been spread by shedding. But this one is spreading a protein. And apparently, according to, what's her name?
Oh, Stephanie Seneff.
Seneff says the mRNA is being shed as well. If that's true, The mRNA, for you newcomers, is the instruction package that goes into your cell, sets up shop, and orders that cell to no longer produce normal proteins that it was always producing, but to only produce this new synthetic deadly protein called the spike. So that's shedding, in a nutshell.
Yeah, and you know, people are still debating that, and I think there's still quite a bit of ignorance and denial on that topic. Somebody came into the big vax injury group over the weekend, and, you know, she's vax injured, and that's the reason why she's in the group. And I'll just read you what she posted. And, I feel bad for these people because they obviously have no idea what they were injected with and are just coming to that realization now of really just how bad it is. She says, just a thought. As a lot of us cannot seem to, the typo here, looks like get rid of this spike protein, are we constantly shedding and potentially causing symptoms in those around us? I ask as my daughter complains of similar pains throughout her body, and my son seems to complain of similar also. They are unvaccinated. And there were a number of responses. Some were in agreement with her observations, but then there were others that were adamant that it was an exaggeration.
Well,
give you an example. Here's I did reply to this, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Just for the record, I did reply. I'll read my response in a minute. But here was the most popular response.
Mm-hmm.
This person says, I suppose if any of your children have had COVID, it would make perfect sense that they may have the similar experiences. There is also the possibility of something environmental in your surrounding outside the vax, like mold, pollutants, or other bacteria or viruses, causing everyone to have the same symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Shedding, in this term, is a myth, unless you are actively carrying a high viral load. If you are concerned, you should probably get tested. I'm not trying to be dismissive, but it is more likely that it is something environmental around your home that you should be checking into if everyone is feeling ill. We need to be looking at all possibilities, but not closing ourselves off from the one possible outcome. Well, those are valid points. You know, there can be things in a house that make people sick. There's no question. But the shedding thing is real. A few other people chimed in. One said, I know an unvaxxed woman who has a vax injury symptoms that started after a long walk outdoors with her vaxxed and boosted daughter. Anytime she's around a vax person, her symptoms worsen. Another one, yes, it does seem to be contagious. Here's another one. I'm not sure I would agree about this shedding stuff. I know that there are some possibilities, but again, like someone else mentioned, maybe when you have high amounts, but I'm around all my kids and my husband and my family members, and nobody seems to get sick from me. They're all doing well.
Oh, good. That's a nice story. The facts are that this is a shedding issue. It cannot be dismissed. Some people maybe get lucky. How many shots did she have?
She doesn't say. Yeah, in some cases it's just one. One just slayed some of these people.
Oh, literally. No joke.
So, for the record, here's what I said. It has been known for some time that the proteins, and microRNAs of this gene transfection are shed via exosomes into the environment where others can be exposed and harmed by them. The risk was clearly stated in the Pfizer clinical study documents as well as the Moderna patent. A similar incidence has been reported for the adenovirus vectors J&J and AstraZeneca. Dr. Pierre Corey did a 7-part report on shedding in late 2023, link below. OBGYN Dr. James Thorpe has also compiled evidence pertaining to pathological menstrual changes in unvaxxed females as a consequence of exposure to these products. So, you know, it's not something that you want to hear or you want to convey to people, but that is the truth.
No.
It's a sad truth.
It's not fun to have to present this information because it's depressing. It's often deadly. It's not fun, but it's the truth. And we're either in this business to tell the truth or we shouldn't be in it at all.
Yeah, and, you know, knowing that it is undeniably a weapon, as you heard David Martin say, it is a scheduled pathogen, there really isn't a lot of debate here.
No, I concur. No, it's a very good response. Yeah.
You know, take a look at the Shedding Group, where there are many people now suffering from the fallout of these injections. You know, the people that had no intention, no desire to take these products, and, you know, they didn't realize there was a risk in the beginning, and they were caught off guard, and now they're paying a very, very high price for it. It does something to the immune system. It is a...
Ruin it for openers. That's one.
Well, we hope it's not permanent, but if the way it was designed to be a super antigen, meaning it was supposed to engage your immune system in a very... provocative way, yes.
Yeah.
And so once the body reacts to that and has a memory of it, it learns. And so the next time it senses it, perhaps even in very, very trace amounts that don't bother most people, it's going to alert you to that. And by producing these symptoms to make you not want to be around it.
No.
And once you reach that threshold, once you've crossed I don't know anybody who's been able to reverse it.
You can't
put it that way.
As they say, walk it back.
That's just it.
No, it's a permanent, irrevocable genetic change to your body.
It's imprinting the immune system.
100%.
So, I mean, the immune system is designed to protect you. It knows that this thing is deadly. And so, you know, once it's encountered it and it has a memory of it, it's going to react a certain way every time.
That's right. That's exactly right. I want to do something. I don't do this too often, but I want to play the David Martin clip again. It's only a minute and 19 seconds. I want this to kind of settle in. You need to understand this because it's crucial and it's absolutely the truth. This is very succinct, right to the point.
And let's unpack that for 1 second, because here's what happened. Based on a set of code that Ralph Barrick sent to the Vaccine Research Center in November of 2019, and you heard me say that date correctly, November 2019, that's allegedly before patient 1.0 in Wuhan. Ralph Barrick sent a sequence to the Vaccine Research Center, and it was not for the coronavirus, and it was not for the coronavirus vaccine. It was for the mRNA that was used to instruct the human body to make a scheduled pathogen. Let me say that again, to make a scheduled pathogen. What they did was they said, what we're going to do is we're going to inject into the arms of billions of people the instructions to turn each individual into a bioweapons factory. And you could say, well, that's hyperbole, Dave. Don't call it a bioweapons factory, except here's a tiny little problem. Under 18 U.S. code, that's exactly what it is. If you instruct a person to make a scheduled toxin, you, in fact, are a biological weapons manufacturer. And every single person that took the shot, let's be really clear, every single person that took the shot became the manufacturer of a synthetic spike protein associated with the coronavirus model.
Okay, I think it's important that we play that twice. It'll be up in news headlines. It's up there right now, actually. But critically important to understand in simple terms what has been done to virtually everyone who was injected. And now we have to consider how much of the same thing is being accomplished in the unvaxxed by the vaxxed via shedding. That we don't know yet, but it's not looking good at this point.
yeah, there are some people who are completely debilitated by this shedding thing. You know, and it has a lot of similarities to, you know, what we call environmental illness or multiple chemical sensitivity or toxin-induced loss of tolerance. So, the immune system has been damaged.
Catastrophically.
And, you know, it can be a different trigger for each person, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's the immune system has been damaged by a poison.
Which takes up residence in your body and becomes a part of your body.
Well, it can. We don't have proof of that yet, at least in the unvax, but it seems totally plausible. Once that spike gets into you, it starts to make its way to various receptors, and, you know, it really doesn't even need a receptor.
It's not just ACE2. Lots of receptors.
Lots of receptors,
fat cells,
yes.
All kinds of things. So this was a...
And it really doesn't even need a receptor. It can fuse with a cell membrane and enter a cell through endocytosis.
What is endocytosis in 30 seconds?
Well, the cell just kind of welcomes it in. It merges with the cell membrane and...
Because of the LNP, makes it even easier, right?
Yeah, and we know these LNPs are being shed with the mRNA.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, that's what the experiments showed. The research that Stephanie Seneff had dug up, that the lipid nanoparticles shed with the mRNA in exosomes.
When she came out...
So you've
got
the protein... You've got the mRNA, you've got microRNAs, which are another set of instructions to tell the cells that receive this cargo how to act on it.
When she said that, and she said it twice now, I think, over a period of months, maybe even almost a year, that should have sent out a massive alarm, a cautionary alarm, at least a cautionary alarm to people about this shedding issue.
It's not somebody being overly sensitive or dramatic when they say, when I'm around a vaxxed person, I don't feel well. That's real.
No, they're not.
And we have the explanation for it.
Right.
And, you know, even I would go so far as to say some pretty good proof in that, according to Pierre Corey and his team, when they test these unvaxxed people for antibodies to spike, if they're having symptoms, quite often their titers are very high, and they're not infected with the virus. This is just spike. It's not nucleocapsid. It's just spike. So where are they getting the spike from? If they're not infected, well, and they're not vaxxed, obviously the environment.
Right. That's right. That's right. Okay, I'm still not... In fact, when I had to go to the store the other day, I saw one other person wearing a mask. And I sometimes
will
go up to them. No, I'll sometimes go up and I'll ask... I'll have a mask on and I'll say, may I ask what made your decision, what went into your decision to wear a mask? And I learned some things. It's interesting. It's really sad to see so many people just trying to live life as they knew it by denying this reality. And I will also mention that the mainstream media, of course, is never telling anyone anything about shit.
No.
They won't even mention it. It doesn't exist. So that's their agenda. All right. Harry Fisher, one of the great paramedics of our times, posts things about interactions with some of the patients that he has called Code 3 to go and tend to and what he comes up with. Go ahead and read this first part, and I'll read the reaction.
Okay.
It's a little two-part conversation, and he'll identify himself, and he'll say, paramedic, me, and then he'll write his question out. What did he say to the patient that he's working with. Go ahead.
Okay, 911 call, possible CVA, stroke. I arrived to find an under 40-year-old with stroke symptoms, sudden onset. Initial rapid assessment completed, continued question and answer. Paramedic, me, do you take medications daily? Have any other medical history? Patient, slurring speech heavily, took Moderna, two of them, year ago. My dad died, stroke, after his, too. Me, paramedic, I'm sorry. And Harry continues, we are to the point where patients are not only putting two and two together regarding these deadly COVID shots, but we're now running parents and their kids suffering the same life-threatening conditions. If the powers that be can pull a president from the market, they can pull these shots just as fast. Bottom line, evil ruling class of people either want us dead or don't care if we die from their RNA experiment. Many of us have been saying it's going to get worse. We are not lying. Stay prayed up. God bless.
There was one reply to that. My nephew went into cardiac arrest at the age of 14. Thankfully, his cardiologist admit what caused it. His mother has had three different cancers in the past 2 years. I always wonder if they had the same batch of vax or if there's a genetic component that might be different somehow. So yes, people are finally adding two and two, and they're coming up with the simple fact that they've been lied to in a beyond criminal, horrific, planned fashion. This is satanic and then some. It is what it is. It's mass genocide. And they're getting rich in the process. It's a transfer of wealth while these people are on the way out.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, the vax injured are just still being really ignored.
Oh, they're brushed under the carpet. You bet. No, you don't hear anything about them. Go away, leave us alone, be quiet. No, they just get no airtime, no concern.
I was reading something somewhere, somebody's comment. Couple people, vax-injured people, had done interviews with some media outlets, and, you know, they were eagerly awaiting the broadcast of these interviews, and at the last minute, the news station said, no, can't run them.
No.
So there's still a lid on it.
Right. Absolutely, Lou. It's not going to change. How sad.
Well,
really sad.
You know, we've got now another mRNA vaccine on the market, which is the Moderna for RSV. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the pharmacies are actually giving that out yet, but it is approved. It's ready to go. So we can look forward to, you know, whatever the outfall of that's going to be, and the shedding, you know, it's producing a protein that we have no idea what it's going to do when you're exposed to it.
None at all. What are you seeing on the boards now? What's the trend? Is there a new trend to be identified here in what you're seeing?
Well, in terms of symptoms, it's interesting. A lot of people complaining about heartburn.
Mm-hmm. Like GERD,
and
that kind of
thing? Yeah, it could be GERD. I don't know if they've got to the bottom of it, but, you know, issues with swallowing and heartburn. Now, that could be any number of things. I think we talked about that last week sometime. I mean, it could be
a
lack of stomach acid. You know, you need hydrochloric acid in your stomach. You need zinc to make hydrochloric acid. You know, the mineral deficiencies in these people is sometimes rather profound. It could be hiatal hernia, vagus nerve dysfunction, you know, bile issues, congested liver, achalasia, which is, you know, where the muscles of the throat just aren't coordinated, so you can't swallow normally. And it could,
you know, we
as
might
well
want to
be
take,
hard.
We might want to take a little time some at some point and talk about the issue of swallowing. That's I think, a rather common issue, which is not talked about. People run into difficulty swallowing.
Yeah, there's, as a matter of fact, a friend of mine who was shot up had an incident over the weekend where he was choking on a piece of chicken. You know, not some big, you know, mouthful of chicken, but just, you know. And I guess they had to do a Heimlich maneuver on him.
They did?
Yeah.
No, that can be a lifesaver, for sure. Whoever, I guess Heimlich discovered that, whoever did, has saved a lot of people. That's a crucial one.
But no, I don't know exactly what's behind the heartburn complaints. But it seems prominent at the moment.
Now, you had sent me this black pill ham character. Is there anything that at the beginning that I should play that would be worthy, a couple minutes worth? Does he jump right into something that we'd want to hear?
Oh, I think, no, he had some commentary, interesting commentary on the assassination attempt.
Ah, so he's okay. It's a political thing. I missed that. Well, I'll check it out. I'll listen. Okay, Francis Boyle had a statement.
Francis Boyle. He was recently interviewed with Colonel McGregor sometime in the last month or two, and Boyle actually signed a affidavit affirming that these injections are bioweapons. Now he, he's got a long list of credentials. Didn't he draft the Bioweapons Convention treaty?
I believe he was. He either drafted it or he was up to his elbows in it.
Yeah, he knows bioweapons.
I, Francis A. Boyle, declare under penalty of perjury that the statements contained herein are true and correct to the best of my knowledge. I am Francis A. Boyle, professor of international law at the University of Illinois College of Law. Blah, 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 blah. Let me find the meaty part here. It is my expert opinion that COVID-19 nanoparticle injections or mRNA nanoparticle injections or COVID-19 injections that meet the criteria of biological weapons and weapons of mass destruction, according to the Biological Weapons USC, that he names the code, I hereby certify that the stylistically edited transcript of an interview I had with such and such is a fair and accurate statement of my professional. So he underscores this. Now, there's that. There's David Martin. There are many others. If you've been involved with this for any length of time in the past 4 years and don't yet understand that this is the most deadly thing ever created by humankind, if maybe humans had help, I don't know. You're not paying attention. Dr. Chetty was the first one, Shankara Chetty, to make that statement. He was right. He almost died recently from Chetty.
Or the virus. He claims he was infected a second time, or third time.
Oh, that's correct. It was three times he's had that, yeah. And for those of you who have had the virus, don't dismiss that as being just a common cold that came and went. No. There are many long-term after effects that must be understood and at least kept in mind. So when you begin to feel, if you do, strange and unusual symptomology. You might have an idea of where it came from. A lot of people are into denial. And that's fine. That's understandable. But we don't have time for denial anymore. We do not.
Yeah, you know, the people saying that it's just a flu or the flu relabeled are really not keeping up with what's happening. You know, the common cold doesn't give you dementia.
No, and that's, she's talking about prions.
Or just inflammation of the brain. Whatever's going on in the brain, it can be multifactorial, prions being one of several things that can adversely affect the brain with this illness. It's no joke. And what it's doing with mineral transport, with iron, and now copper, you know, when you lose control of your ability to sense oxygen, that's a problem. And heme is your body's oxygen sensor. And this virus attacks heme and your ability to synthesize heme. And that has really profound effects at the cellular level, particularly for your neurology and your brain.
Well, explain how the spike blasts the red blood cells and takes them apart, leaving cell-free iron and heme running loose. Not good.
Yeah,
both
so
toxic.
There are a couple, three different receptors that we know of. There may be more that the spike can attach to on a red blood cell and cause it to deform. And
think,
when it
think
deforms,
about that. Three different receptors at least on a red cell in your blood. A red cell in your blood has at least three receptors for the spike to attach to and do damage. Go ahead.
And then within the red blood cell, you have hemoglobin, and it can attach to that. And so not being able to transport oxygen is a problem. And then if we put any stock into the Chinese study that was first done in 2021 and has been redacted now 11 times, that shows the spike has a binding site on it for copper that allows it to act like hemocyanin, which is the copper-carrying oxygen transport system in things like crabs or insects. That's where you get your happy hypoxia from. The spike is acting like hemocyanin, delivering oxygen around the body, except, you know, it's not within a red blood cell. It's on the spike. So oxygen sensing is completely derailed. So that's a big deal.
Huge.
It's a really big deal.
Don't be taking iron supplements. Don't be taking copper supplements unless you know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are thinking that this is the magic bullet, and if you're going to take these metals, which they are metals, you really have to determine if you need them, when you need them, and whether there's other cofactors needed to properly metabolize them. Because a lot of people are low on B12, they're low on folate, sulfur's a big one. A lot of people are completely depleted of sulfur. And, you know, that's why NAC, N-acetylcysteine, was so beneficial. And, people have kind of drifted away from that for whatever reason. But that is a highly beneficial supplement that can, you know, support your ability to detoxify and degrade that protein to some degree, the spike protein, make it less dangerous, hopefully, and give your body a source of sulfur. Because without sulfur, you know, you're going to lose your hair, you're going to lose collagen, you're going to lose your joints. The body needs sulfur on an ongoing basis,
right.
and I see a lot of people.
Good joint therapy, very
right.
Good.
So you
very
have
helpful.
Your choice of, you could do NAC, alpha lipoic acid, MSM, methyl sulfonyl methane, DMSO, garlic. All of those are sources of sulfur that the body is really craving.
Right. You could probably eat. What do they call it when they freeze, not freeze dry, but just dry out fruit and sell it, like apricots, you know, bright bag of dried apricots. They use sulfur to dry them out. It's one of the prime components.
Well, sulfite is actually toxic. Sulfite is toxic.
Okay, that's why people have warned against that. All right.
Yeah, but, you know, in a healthy body, your body will convert sulfite to sulfate. But again, you know, this is another pathway that's kind of derailed when you're not healthy.
Very good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is our program for you for this Monday night. We will be back on Wednesday. The greatest crime against humanity continues, even though it is not in the news headlines now. Notice how the Trump assassination attempt has broomed all of this away? It's predictable. It's what they do. But in the meantime, billions are suffering.
Yeah. All right. That's no exaggeration.
Thank you. Take care. Talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Right. We'll pause and come right back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.